The Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I was sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's The Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Blake Ruffino on Wednesdays. Jackson here, and we talk college football. We start with LSU, and then we see where it goes. Tell you what, Blake, that Arkansas game, I was studying LSU because I was wondering, they showed me some quit in that Auburn game. So I wanted to see where they were, and there was no quit in them. They fought. They fought and pulled that game out.
Yeah, Bill, I was really surprised by LSU defensively. Look, Bill, you had 8 drives for LSU where they either forced a 3-and-out or there was 4 plays and a punt. I mean, hell of a game for them. And look, people will go and look at this game and say, well, Arkansas scored 24 points. But, Bill, really and truthfully, you had Derek Stingley, Elias Ricks, Mo Hampton, 3 of your starting 5 defensive backs go out, and you give up 10 points. Let me tell you something. For all the people who don't cover or watch LSU, Bo Pelini's defense is starting to turn around. Now, Bill, I'm with you on the Auburn game. They gave up, you know, in that second half. But if you look at that first half, LSU gives up 2 key turnovers by T.J. Finley, 1 pick 6, and the fumble that gets them to the 1-yard line. That's 14 points that was generated. Bill, if that doesn't happen, are you going into halftime against Auburn 7-3? I don't know if this – Bill, personally now, I feel that this defense is starting to change. Jay Ward at the end of the game – or in the beginning of the game got burned and then had a pass interference call. He turns around in the second half and comes up with a huge hit to draw the ball loose on an incomplete pass and then blocks a field goal. Bill, Ed Orgeron said yesterday that Bo Pelini had been working that play because he knew that Arkansas was going to run that on a key third down and was screening it from the sideline on that key third down. They had a couple of key stops at the goal line to force Arkansas to kick field goals, one that was missed and one that they made there at the end. So I was really impressed, Bill, from a young team. They showed with energy, and something we talked about last week. I thought if this team would just come out with some energy, they have the talent to do it, and I was pretty impressed.
Blake Ruffino with us. Now the Aggies are on deck, and a team hadn't played in a few, but their resume has been getting better with each game.
Yeah, and Bill, I've been a little bit wrong on them. Something that, you know, again, as a former offensive lineman that I'm going to look at first, Bill, I think that they've given up only 2 or 3 sacks all season. That is highly impressive. The biggest thing for LSU this week that scares me is that Texas A&M likes to get the ball out to their running backs and tight ends. Wattemeyer is a big body guy, 6'5", 265. And that is Kellerman's favorite target. LSU's linebackers and safeties have struggled. The linebackers have really come into their own. Bill, of the 6 games, this defense just generated 6 interceptions, but they're going to have to stop the running backs and tight ends this game if they even have a shot. They've shown progress, but if they don't even come close to slowing them down, it's going to be a long night for Tiger fans. But, Bill, LSU defensive line, something that is coming and we're seeing is they've been able to stop the run. Now, Arkansas in the second half turned it on. Auburn turned it on them in the second half. But, Bill, if you look at these games in a deep dive, teams aren't able to run on LSU very effectively. If LSU is able to stop Texas A&M from running the football and you put the game solely – on Kellerman's shoulders, what does he do? I think that LSU is going to try to stop the run and make him beat you, and they're going to have to find a way to generate some kind of pressure, which they did against Arkansas last week.
Anything that jumped out to you regarding the committee's initial playoff release Tuesday night?
Yeah, I think as everybody would think, Ohio State not being above Clemson, I was kind of just not shocked, but just surprised. Bill, last year, and look, I'm not really big with the ratings. You know, I think until the end, it doesn't really matter anyway. Just TV ratings, but you know, LSU fans last year were throwing a hissy fit, Bill, because they were keeping LSU at 2, and we're like, hey, we've only just beaten 5 top 10 teams in the season. I don't know what these guys or what they judge. You know, you look at BYU, I don't know what they're even looking at. I mean, because you can't look at the analytics because they're blowing everybody out. You can't really say, Bill, that they haven't played anybody because Alabama's only beaten one ranked team. You can't throw that against them. And to my knowledge, Clemson's only beaten, what, one ranked team as well and lost to another? So I'm just surprised that how the rankings shaked out. I guess Ohio State not doing good last week. Just the committee didn't want to put them above Clemson. And I know they've only played 4 games, but Indiana took it to them there at the end. But that I think that was the biggest surprise. And another surprise, Bill, and I would have to go check this, is Cincinnati in the first poll. I think Cincinnati is a group of 5 team, is the highest ranked team that we've had in these rankings to start off. So I would be interested to see how it. I don't think they can squeeze in, but if they keep winning, what happens to them?
Do you anticipate the Iron Bowl being better than Alabama favored by 25.5?
Yeah, Bill. You know, we talked about that. Or I talked about that at length last night. Of the last 20 games in the Iron Bowl, Auburn leads the series 11-9. Even sometimes Auburn's team is kind of bad, so that game gets out of hand. But for whatever reason, this game always seems to be close. I don't know if Bo Nix and this offense could get it moving and score with Alabama. I would pick Alabama in the game. But the 20-point spread, Bill, I think it's going to be a little bit closer than that. I just think that both of these teams have a hated rivalry. I mean, you look at LSU, I mean, from what I've seen just from the fan perspective and from a player perspective, it's rivalry week, Bill. People are talking about these games being, you know, really lopsided, and sometimes they are, but sometimes most of these games are really close. So I would lean Alabama. I don't think anybody's going to slow them down. But at the same time, I just wouldn't pick Alabama in the points. But I'm also not Brad Powers making buku's amount of money from this either, Bill, so I don't know.
Blake Ruffino checks in every Wednesday with us, and we'll let you know how you can get all his shows and see his work. We're talking college football. Are there any new news items regarding the quarterback availability at LSU other than Finley?
Yeah, Max Johnson was available last week. You know, Bill, I've talked about this ad nauseum, and I think it's just because I've covered TJ Finley so much. But, Bill, the last drive of that game for Arkansas last week, you had a true freshman quarterback on the road go 3 of 4 for 44 yards and a touchdown. He should have been 4 of 4. The one touchdown that they called an incompletion should have been the touchdown to start off with. But I think, Bill, that everyone is talking about we want to see Max, we want to see Max, and I get that. But he's not better than TJ Finley right now. He's just not. Bill, if you can't force the ball down the field and complete passes down the field, you're going to get your butt beat. And Max struggles with getting the ball down the field. TJ Finley does not. And I get that he is not like Max Johnson when it comes to the mobility, but he's shown that he has the escapability and to be able to move around in the pocket and create big plays for the offense. Bill, something that I'm trying to get sourced a little bit better, Miles Brennan, they want him to have surgery. They don't want him to have surgery. I think that there's a lot of back and forth here. So I don't think he will be back for this season. It looks very doubtful, but there, you know, there's some talk that he could possibly try to make his way back. But every time he goes out there and throws, Bill, I knew that he threw on Monday and he still had a little bit of pain, but it was more manageable. So it's development that we're starting to run down.
What are your Thanksgiving plans? What does the Ruffino family do for Thanksgiving?
Oh, Bill, now I'm getting ready. You know how us Louisianians do. We're going to fry some turkeys. Right. I know that we're going to have some gumbo. I don't know who's going to do the roux. Maybe I'll do it with some melted butter and flour. Bill, I heard you right before we came on with the gumbo. I always look forward to a good gumbo after Thanksgiving. But, Bill, something you might want to – and this is just a Louisiana thing maybe, yep. But some people put some potato salad in for the rice with their gumbo. That's actually not too bad. I never grew up doing that, but some people do it.
Wow.
And just some traditions. I love oyster dressing. I love it. I'm looking forward to that. But everything, look, I just sit back and I eat, Bill. I mean, my wife, she, God bless her soul. I mean, this is the best day of the year for the Ruffino family. I'm going to tell you that right now. But I always look forward to, Bill. It's kind of a tradition that we do. At the end, we'll watch a football game at the end of the day and maybe make a turkey sandwich or do something like that. So all the things, but always looking forward to the gumbo and some oyster dressing.
Speaking of the roux, we try and use, and I've already got some stored up, bacon grease for it. It really turns out well. Have you tried that?
Yeah, I have never done it, Bill, but I know some people that have, and I like that. I just go the traditional, you know, butter, flour, and things like that. Some things I do to make the roux a little bit spicier, I'll get a little bit of Tony's and throw it in there just to get a little bit of spice in that roux. And let it just sit there, but I just do a traditional, maybe a bay leaf in it. But I mean, I don't get too crazy with my roux. I let the meat and just the meat and the Holy Trinity, Bill, the green onions, the bell peppers, and the celery. I let the Holy Trinity do its work.
He mentioned Tony. That's Tony Satchery. It's spelt funky. It doesn't look like it's Satchery, but that's what you're referring to there. Just for everybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to there. I mean, Bill, the four things that every Louisiana person has in their house, Tony Satchery's and the Holy Trinity of bell pepper, celery, and green onion. That's the Holy Trinity. If you're going to come up in this house and start cooking and you don't have those four things, you might as well turn around and get out.
If anybody wants, you can go to YouTube and pull up some of those Tony Satchery commercials from, I don't know if they run them anymore, but you can pull them up, and they're pretty good, actually. Do they still run those in Louisiana, those commercials?
Bill, you bring that up, and that's a good point. I haven't seen a Tony Satchery's commercial in probably 8 years.
I know.
But they always came out with the good ones. They would come out with a priest. You know how the Super Bowl has these funny commercials? And they used to come out with one right before, and they were always hilarious. But they don't run them anymore.
Blake, tell everybody how they can get your shows.
Yeah, Bill, y'all have a happy Thanksgiving, my man. But everybody can go watch your shows at AYS Network on Facebook, RU Series Sports on Twitter and YouTube. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, go rate and subscribe there. A lot of listens and viewers have been trickling over to our podcast, so we're really fired up with that. After Thanksgiving, we're going to be doing a giveaway for everybody who goes and likes the page on Facebook. So everybody go do that, and we'll be in a drawing for a giveaway coming up soon.
Blake, see you next week, sir.
You too, Bill. Happy Thanksgiving.
There you go. Mr. Blake Ruffino joins us every Wednesday. Yeah, I forgot how they spell that, but it's pronounced Satchery, but it doesn't look like. When you see the word, it's it's crazy. God, it's crazy. Anyways, we need to take a break here. Bottom of the hour, Mr. Kevin Hagan will join us. Talk some Alabama with him as they are equipping for the Iron Bowl against War Damn Eagle. And Berg will be with us top of hour three. Brad will be with us the remainder of that third hour as well. That's the layout. Coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Despite seeing a lot of radar out here, traffic's moving at the moment through Mount Juliet on I-40, dodging some rain showers out here. Crash there, 4000 Malacca, Murfreesboro Pike. Rosa Parks at Clarksville Pike is still there. Hopefully that'll be back open here in just a few minutes. They've got a couple more vehicles to move. Hey, to cater your next holiday party, call Prince's Hot Chicken or simply go online to princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure Magazine, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu beef. Bob's Steak and Chop House is ready to host your private holiday parties and get-togethers. And if you need a stocking stuffer, there's no better gift than a Bob's Steak and Chop House gift card. To book your private holiday party, call 615-761-3707. Located downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Bob's Steak and Chop House.
At Slim Chickens, we're known for our 100% all-natural buffalo wings. Fresh, delicious, and fried to perfection. Now available in two new dry rub flavors. Our house favorite, Cayenne Ranch, blends cool with a kick of cayenne. And lemon pepper brings tangy zest and a punch of black pepper. But hurry, get them while you can. Whether you're driving through, ordering online, or picking it up curbside, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville. Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration reminds you this holiday season there are more people traveling, more people hurrying. Take the time to drive with extra care. Others depend on your alert driving. This message is from the crew at Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration. Your stained glass experts serving the Nashville area specializing in new construction, repairs, and restoration. Residential or commercial, give Butch a call at 615-308-3447. Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration wishing everyone a safe and healthy holiday season.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Scott, most important question you're going to get all day. Do you remember bumping into me at Whole Foods about 4 years ago?
What? Do I remember 4 years ago at Whole Foods? You know, vividly.
Just say no. It's that fine.
You probably thought it was Derek Mason. That's why the Vanderbilt football coach.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
If it's the P5, the G5, or a neutral site game in Council Bluffs, the Bill King Show has it covered.
Yeah, Tony Satchery is spelt, the last name, C-H-A-C-H-E-R-E. So it looks like Chachir, if you just look at it. It's pronounced Satchery. Again, C-H-A-C-H-E-R-E is pronounced Satchery. That's a real dude. He died. He died in the 90s down in Louisiana. And I don't know if you go to your local Publix or Kroger or whatever the store is in your area. Everybody's got their own grocery store, right? I don't know if you can get that in the spice aisle. You might. Maybe you can. I think Walmart might carry it. I haven't been in Walmart in a long time, but it's pretty good. Yeah, we've had a bottle or two of that around here in the past as well. Adam, who'd you say was on hold? Did you say somebody was on hold, Adam? Oh, John. Okay. Down in the Rocket City. What's up, John?
Hey, Bill. Good morning to you.
Morning to you, sir.
Thank you. Hey, I just want to clarify a few things. Blake, he's really good, but he when he's talking about last 20 years, Auburn's beat Alabama 11 out of 20 times. He's right, but you got to consider six of those years were Mike Shula and Tommy Tuberville, and Alabama lost every game. Nick Saban has been 9-4. And, you know, you had the Cam game in 2010, then you had the miracle play in, 13? And, but the fact is, when they play in Tuscaloosa, Alabama beats living you-know-what out of Auburn. You know, because in 12, when we were favored by over 30, we had them 42-0 at half and beat them 49-0. That was Chiswick's last year. And then in 14, we hung 55 on them in Tuscaloosa. And then 2 years ago, Tua lit them up, and I think we beat them by 24 or 28 points. So just to clarify a few things. Yeah, when we play in Auburn, they're pretty close, but we play Tuscaloosa, Alabama lights them up. So I don't, I don't see it changing this year. What do you think?
I would tend to agree. I don't know that I think this game is going to be one of those Iron Bowl specials that goes down and everybody has to buy the limited video of it. I think it's going to be a pretty solid Alabama victory here. They're favored. This morning, Johnny Vegas sent me some numbers, and the one this morning said 25.5. So I think it's going to be a convincing Alabama win. I'd be surprised.
Yeah. Wow, so that means it's went up. So that means the money's going on Alabama, doesn't it? If it keeps going up.
With that number, yeah.
Yeah. So, because I know it was 24 at the start of the week.
Right.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I always do. I got to be honest, whenever we play in Auburn, I don't know what it is about that place down there. Crazy things happen. So I'm always scared as you know what. Thank goodness we're in T-Town.
I hear you.
Yeah. Well, look, man, I'm going to get off the phone. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. You too.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Vol Nation on Twitter, Vol Nation 98. Got to specify now on Twitter. Bill, could you tweet out the recipe for the White Castle burger stuffing? I don't really know it. I can give you the cliff notes. Go to your store, frozen food section, buy the White Castle package. I believe Wolverine Dan said there were 16 in there. Put them in the fridge overnight, let them thaw out. And then the next morning, chop them up. Add some seasoning to it. I don't remember all the seasoning. I know some celery. Chop up some celery, put that in there. Add some other stuff, whatever you like. Mix it all up, and then throw that big wad of whatever it is into the cavity of the turkey, and then cook that bad boy. And they say, now, I had a couple people yesterday hit me up, said they actually had tried it, and it wasn't bad at all. Until Wolverine Dan, exactly 1 year ago, called in with that, I had never heard of that in my life. And most everybody that's communicated with me said, Bill, I'll never get that by my wife. There's no way that would get approved. But a few of you, Coach G up in Wisconsin, said he's done it. And had a few others say, Bill, we've done it before. And it's actually surprisingly good. I don't know that I'll ever do that. I can't. I respect the turkey too much to do that to the turkey. You got to be respectful to the turkey. Come on now. But so that's all I know, Vol Nation. I couldn't give you. If Wolverine Dan, and I don't think he's on Twitter, but if he wants to send out some sort of sheet or something, I'd be glad to post it. But that's all I know. Just get you some White Castle burgers from your frozen food section, thaw them out, chop them up, add some celery and some other things, chuck it in the bird, cook it up. One more before we get Kevin Hagan, bottom of the hour break. John in the, not far from the Rocket City at all, 931. What's up, John?
No, not far at all, Bill. What's going on with you?
Oh, just trying to get everybody in today. Cramming them in.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it, man. It's good to kind of have a lot of guests and stuff and, you know, get everybody all in one day. But anyways, so Northwestern, Bill, you think that ranking was a little too high, or is that just me?
I don't think they are. What were they ranked, eighth? I don't think they're the eighth best team in the nation. But I think just based on crunching the numbers right now, that's fine. They won't end up there. I'd be shocked. Now their schedule the rest of the way is very, very. I don't want to call anything easy, but they should win the rest of their games until they get to the Buckeyes in the championship game.
I agree. I think they're
not real sexy. They're not real sexy. And Peyton Ramsey's a quarterback, transferred from Indiana. He's been a really big deal to them. That's turned out well.
And I remember him at Indiana too, because I think I can't remember. Is he related to Patrick Ramsey?
If he is, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think he is. I can't remember off the top of my head. But that name definitely caught my attention, because back when I first got into football, Patrick Ramsey was the quarterback for my dad's favorite team. So, you know. So I guess the other thing is, you've got Cincinnati and BYU that are going into bye weeks, right?
That is correct.
Why didn't that game get scheduled already, Bill?
That's been tweeted a bunch. Probably I mean, because you don't want to lose a bowl game.
It makes all the sense in the world to just go ahead and play that game, just kind of be like, all right, well, either one of us beats the other or nobody gets in, and it's worth risking. BYU should have taken Washington. I think you talked a lot about that on Monday. But how do you turn down a team and kind of say, well, we want to see where we're ranked before we play you? Like, how do you do that, Bill? That's unreal. That's just against common sense and everything else.
I hear you, man. No, I hear you. Hey, I got to get to Kevin Hagan, but happy Thanksgiving to you. Appreciate your calls.
You too, Bill. You guys take it easy, all right?
Yes, sir. Bottom of the hour break right here, and then we return with Mr. Kevin Hagan. We'll talk a little Alabama, a little college football with him. Top of the hour, Jess Newberg. After that, Brad, the rest of hour number three. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Watching traffic volume increase quite a bit in the last few minutes out here. Coming through Hendersonville on Vietnam. That's coming westbound all the way to 65. Coming in from Mount Juliet right now. I-40 into Hermitage. That looks pretty good, but we've seen some radar down through parts of Wilson County into Smith County. Slow it down. Sleep with the sharks in a grown-up atmosphere at Ripley's Aquarium in the Smokies, December 26th and 27th. Check it out at ripleysaquarium.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide two enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel, Mokara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relaxing comfort of the signature Mokara Spa as you're pampered with an ultimate spa day. Make time for a soothing facial, manicure, or pedicure as you rejuvenate in this refined, quiet oasis. Give her the gift of relaxation. Call or stop by Mokara Salon and Spa for your holiday gift cards. Located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Mokara Salon and Spa.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash. You aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Look for a wind advisory and showers with a high of 68. Chance of showers tonight, low 46. Mostly sunny on Thanksgiving with a high of 61. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, low 41. Utilizing the resource of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stein.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
He's got the exculpatory evidence on college sports. It's Bill King.
Adam is chasing down Kevin Pagan. We'll have him here shortly. Johnny Vegas, I think, is in Winn-Dixie right now, down on the Emerald Coast of Florida. And he went to the section where you could get the spices, and there it is. Tony, not Chichir's, Tony Satchery's. And there it is, right on the shelf. I don't know, if I happen to go, mental note, if I'm in Kroger today, I'm going to see if there is any Tony Satchery's on the shelf. Again, it looks like Chichir, but it's not. It's Satchery. You got to know how to pronounce these things, y'all. I used to think it was Chichir's, too. Kevin Hagan joins us talking Alabama and college football. Kevin, let's begin with the Kentucky game. At the end, young players got to play. Obviously, Bryce Young, young running back, etc. Talk about some of these guys.
Absolutely, Bill. But first, I want to send out a message to my good friend, Crazy Charlie. I know you're listening, buddy. I want you to get well soon. I want you climbing over the boards to skate your next shift really, really soon and be back producing the greatest show on college football. So get well soon, my friend. Yeah, Bill. At the end of the blowout runaway game against Kentucky on Saturday, we got to see Bryce Young come in and throw the first of what I think will be many touchdown passes for Alabama. It was an 18-yard laser to Devontae Smith. It came one play after he held the ball too long and got sacked, but eluded a defender and threw a wonderful pass. And then we saw Roydale Williams and Jason McClellan come in, true freshman running backs. They each scored their first career touchdown. Both of them, ironically, got 10 carries at the end of the game. And as a matter of fact, Jace McClellan ended up being the leading rusher in the game for Alabama, 10 carries for 99 yards. And it was phenomenal. Nothing, not to take anything away from Roydale Williams. I'm excited about him. He's going to be a huge part of the Alabama offense moving forward. But it was jaw-dropping to me to watch how Jace McClellan ran the football. I had heard from key Alabama people in the Dallas Metroplex area that I trust that he was never healthy his senior year of high school last year, and that we weren't seeing the true Jace McClellan. And we saw it on Saturday. And Bill, I cannot tell you how excited I am to see that young man carrying the ball moving forward in the Alabama offense. And then not a true freshman, but Jaleel Billingsley had his best game clearly in an Alabama uniform, 3 receptions for 78 yards. But the youth movement is clearly on with the Alabama offense, and it was a blast to watch on Saturday.
Alabama, as we've been talking, is a huge favorite in this game, 25.5. Now, somebody said, was it 2012? Maybe it was a 31-point spread. I don't remember. But nonetheless, is that an adequate predictor of the way this Auburn game should go?
I think Alabama, I'm not 100% sure that they cover the spread, but I definitely think that this will not be a nail biter of a game late in the game by any means whatsoever. The reality is Auburn's defense, Kevin Steele's, it's kind of been a bend but don't break defense for Auburn this year. They're 10th in the Southeastern Conference in rush defense. The Vols put up 222 yards against them last week. They gave 283 to Ole Miss and 202 to Georgia. That's not really a good idea, you know, good thing coming into this game because Alabama, with that strong offensive line and strong running game, I think Alabama's going to have a tremendous amount of success running the ball on Saturday. Auburn is 13th in the Southeastern Conference on third down defense. They've struggled to get off the field on third down. I don't think that's going to play really well into Saturday. And then if you flip the page and you look at the Auburn offense, they're 11th in the SEC in passing. They're 11th in the SEC in explosive plays. So while, you know, they do have, you know, Anthony Schwartz and Eli Stove and Seth Williams. It's not your typical, you know, it's like you've seen sometimes in the Iron Bowl, Auburn able to throw up explosive plays whenever they want to. And Auburn's also 10th in the Southeastern Conference in red zone offense. They've only scored a touchdown 58% of the time. So, and the thing that jumps out at me about this Auburn team, that typically Auburn has just, you know, stacked like wood, great defensive linemen. And I don't see the elite defensive line play from this Auburn team that I have in the past. So, yeah, Bill, unless Alabama comes out and kind of has a, you know, a hangover, Thanksgiving turkey hangover, or turns the ball over a lot, I don't think this is going to be a particularly close game in the third and fourth quarter.
How about the development of the other receivers? You know, we know who the stars are, but how is that coming along?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned Jaleel Billingsley having the big game Saturday, and I'm a little, I'll be real honest with you, I'm a little puzzled that we haven't seen more of Javon Baker and Treshawn Holden, and Tyu Jones-Bell got into the game a little bit on Saturday. I'm a little perplexed, though, Bill, that they weren't a bigger part of the offense, and that's not to take anything away from Jaleel. I continue to think, and Javon Baker being the primary one of that group, as we move forward, I think, Bill, that he's going to become a bigger part of the offense. But, you know, the game that Jaleel had on Saturday, he's going to continue to be targeted by Mac Jones and used by Steve Sarkisian.
Kevin Hagan checks in with us usually on Fridays, and because Friday is a no-go, we don't have a show on Friday or Thursday, we asked him if he could move it earlier in the week, and he was able to make it fit, so we appreciate that. Kevin talks Alabama and college football with us. So are you still convinced it's going to be Alabama versus Florida in the SEC championship game?
I am. I would be very surprised moving forward looking at both teams' schedules. I know Florida, you know, kind of came out a little bit lackluster last Saturday going into Nashville, but I think part of that was, you know, let's be honest, how fired up and motivated were the Florida Gators to roll into Nashville and play a Vanderbilt team that, unfortunately for my Vanderbilt friends, hasn't showed much of a pulse this year. No, I think Florida's clearly the best team in the East, and I would be very, very surprised if Alabama, you know, dropped a game to Auburn. I think we'll see the LSU rematch in Arkansas. Not to take anything away from those teams, I think we're clearly on an Alabama-Florida collision course for Atlanta.
I don't think that Tennessee's going to do anything to Jeremy Pruitt this year, period. Regardless, if they don't win another game, I don't think he gets fired. But let me just play the what if. If they were to fire him, would he be immediately back on the staff at Alabama?
In some capacity, I would be absolutely shocked if he was not immediately back in Tuscaloosa, a part of the program in some way, absolutely.
Yeah.
Very close. Him and Coach Saban are very, very close, and Jeremy bleeds crimson. So, yes, if that were to happen, and I agree with you, because of the COVID situation and the financial constraints that these universities are under, I don't think he'll get the axe this year. I think he'll start next year with a very, very, very hot seat. But if that were to happen, yeah, I would look for him to be back in Tuscaloosa very soon.
Nick's favorite former assistants are, in some order, Jimbo Fisher and Jeremy Pruitt. Am I leaving somebody out?
Those are certainly two of them. Yeah, but you've probably hit the top two.
I mean, there are more, but those are at the top.
There are. Right? I'm having a senior moment. The Oregon coach, Mario Cristobal. Coach Saban really liked Mario Cristobal and thinks very, very highly of him. But yeah, Jimbo Fisher and Jeremy Pruitt are certainly at the top of the list of former assistant coaches that Coach Saban's really fond of.
Talk to us again about the season Najee Harris is having at running back.
Oh, absolutely incredible. Sadly, his last home game on Saturday as a senior. Believe it or not, Bill, he goes into the Auburn game 418 yards shy of Derrick Henry's all-time Alabama career rushing record of 3,591 yards. And when you think about it, when you think about Alabama's schedule ahead and the potential to play an SEC championship game in two playoff games, the reality is, Bill, it is very realistic that Najee Harris could leave Alabama as the all-time leading rusher in school history. And 2 years ago, I would have laughed in your face if you asked me about the possibility of that happening. Najee has made himself so much money this year with his performance and his leadership, and that's the key for Najee. It's not just what he's been able to accomplish on the field, but it's his off-the-field leadership, his off-the-field maturity. I just cannot heap praise enough for how far Najee Harris has come from the first day he arrived at Alabama as a true freshman from Antioch, California. And I've just enjoyed every moment of it, and I hate to say, it's sad to think that we're down to the last few games watching Najee Harris in an Alabama uniform.
Yeah, because he comes in, he's got that size, he's got speed, he dominates, and he's a five-star, so let's see it. Day one, and he wasn't there early, was he?
No, the first thing he wanted to do, if you remember, was try to hurdle people. I mean, it was like he was on the track team, on, you know, running hurdles. So once we got him to quit, trying to jump people and either run around people or run over people, like most true freshman running backs, he wasn't really fond of pass blocking, wasn't really sure that was a part of his job description. And then there were some other issues. I mean, it's well documented that Najee unfortunately came from a really rough neighborhood, a really rough background growing up there in Antioch, California. So there were some, there's a major cultural difference from moving from inner city Antioch, California, a suburb of Oakland, to Tuscaloosa, Alabama in the South. So there were some transitional issues, and it's not just him. It's common for other players. But credit to Najee Harris. He never quit. He never gave up. Coach Saban never gave up on him. And the transformation of that young man has been just remarkable to watch. And as I mentioned earlier, if he stays healthy, I think he's going to have a really outstanding NFL career. And I could not be happier for the young man. That watching the transformation of Najee Harris, to me, Bill, is really what college football is all about.
What are your Thanksgiving plans with a family?
Oh, Thanksgiving has always been my favorite holiday. I know a lot of people blow past it and can't wait for Christmas. Not me. I'm always been all about Thanksgiving. We found out Sunday that we are going to be the host family. That wasn't originally the plan, so we're going to be scrambling around here today to get ready. Turkey, dressing. I'm a big bread guy, so you have to have about four different types of rolls and bread for me. Deviled eggs is my, for some reason, I'm really wanting that, craving that this year. But at the same time, a turkey is the centerpiece of Thanksgiving. I guess it's my Southern blood. You cannot have Thanksgiving without your, country ham and biscuits for me. I'm a big stuffing guy. And then I think we're going to have as many pies as Alabama has stud wide receivers on their roster tomorrow. So we will gorge ourselves tomorrow and kick back and watch a little football. But as I said earlier, Thanksgiving has always been my favorite holiday, and I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. Unfortunately, our youngest son, Josh, who lives in Charleston, South Carolina now, won't be able to join us tomorrow. I'm a little bummed by that, but I'm so looking forward to Thanksgiving tomorrow, Bill.
Kevin, see you next week, sir.
Hey, everybody, have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your family. Have a great rest of the week. And as always, Roll Tide.
There he is. Usually with us on Friday, but we're trying to get everybody stacked up today, and we're doing it. Berg at the top of the hour, Josh Newberg, 24/7 Sports, and also the podcast called The Big 3 Roll-Up. That's at the top of the hour. Then we'll get on to Brad. Handicapping with Brad Powers, bradpowersports.com. Awesome, awesome with him. Okay, we'll take the break. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic's picked up quite a bit, actually, as far as that traffic volume up through Brentwood, Franklin on 65, coming up through Williamson County. We're checking right now on Briley Parkway at Clarksville Pike over in Bordeaux. We know the fire department's been dispatched to that location. 4,000 block of Murfreesboro Pike. That rig should be out of there in just a few more minutes. Hey, if you're looking to buy or sell a home, call Tony and Nikisha Tate, the Tate team. They can assist you with all your real estate needs. They're really awesome people. Give them a call at 554-9795. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal in
Tennessee. You can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types. And once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they give you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. To claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Be sure to sign up with promo code BKING so they know I sent you.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
And now the fine folks at D&D Painting are reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. Visit USO.org to locate military care package and see how you can make a difference today. This message is courtesy of D&D Painting. For residential, commercial, interior, or exterior painting, epoxy concrete floors, or garage doors, call today at 615-554-2358. That's 615-554-2358. Backed by over 20 years of experience, that's D&D Painting. They're people who care.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and this week features Chase Elliott running the Snowball Derby, Kyle Larson picking up win number 43, plus a ton more. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here. Oh, and happy Thanksgiving holiday this week.
Hi, this is Alex Bowman, and you're listening to The Final Lap.
Every single weekday right here.
Doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
Before I get the call, 614 Rob links a tweet from Joel Klatt of Fox. It says the only reason Georgia football is in the top 10 with that committee ranking last night is they have recruited at a very high level. They got drilled in their two biggest games with their precious D getting abused. Their wins came against teams with a combined record of 15-22. Sweet job by the committee. Now, somebody else points out that if you go through the top six, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State, A&M, Florida, almost all of them, when you combine their opponents' to-date record, that percentage is under 50%. Alabama's opponents right now combined are 23-25. Notre Dame, 31-42. Clemson is the only one that's 500 or better. 26-25, their opponents. Ohio State, 6-13. The Aggies, 20-24. Florida, 21-28. So, I didn't think Georgia would be ranked as high as they were either. But do I really care? Is it worth too much time? No, it's not. It's just we've got other releases coming out every Tuesday, right? Every Tuesday we get a new one. And most of that stuff probably gets cleaned up. Dane, welcome in. Appreciate you calling.
What's going on, Bill? Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Now I'm sitting down here looking at the Gulf of Mexico, enjoying my coffee, listening to the show.
Yeah, you told me you were heading down to the beach. Dane's got him a place down there. And what's here it's rainy and kind of dreary. What's it like down there?
Sunny and breezy, man. I think it's going to be a beautiful day on the Gulf, man. My Thanksgiving, I think I'm going to have roast some throw a ribeye and some shrimp on the grill. That's going to be my Thanksgiving.
That would work for me.
But, hey, I just got to say something about this. All this talk about, Bill, I just believe all this talk about getting rid of Jeremy Pruitt, it's way premature. Don't you think it's way premature?
I don't think they're going to do anything. I mean, the environment we're in now with social media, you're always going to have early speculation on jobs. That's just the world we're in right now. But I don't believe Tennessee is going to do anything right now with him.
Well, we can't. I mean, with the exception of Alabama and a couple of others, can you really judge this season by any other? You really can't, can you?
Well, if I'm Jeremy Pruitt, I'm saying we probably shouldn't. But, I mean,
nobody knew the wheels was going to come off. We had a good run going. But I think that he is, I've been aggravated with it too. I think he's stuck with Garantano because he don't want to, I think he's a good kid, and I think he just don't want to wreck the kid, man. Maybe he's just sitting there waiting his time out to put one of those other guys in there. It's really hard to say, man. What's your expert opinion on that?
He waited and is waiting way too long to go with a new quarterback. I've been very critical of him there. So I agree with that estimate. If you're going to lose, you might as well do it with Harrison Bailey, one of the young quarterbacks.
Go ahead, sir.
I was just going to say, what's the stat people are using now, which is apparently true? 5 straight losses, double digits or more, which is the first time in the history of the program.
Well, I went up there 3 times this year. It's been hard to watch, and the games you caught on TV have been hard to watch, I just don't think anybody saw that the wheels were going to come off like that. But I'll tell you something. I thought Cosby's call was kind of comical yesterday when he was talking about, I was listening to y'all on the way down yesterday, Pruitt's grammar. Because you got a bunch of guys that call the show, me included. There's Southern is a paper sack full of hush puppies. Somebody from East Tennessee talking about somebody from Alabama's grammar. That's pretty funny.
I caught that too. Yes, I did.
Hey, have a good Thanksgiving.
You too.
I'd like to have a bowl of that gumbo.
I'll put the I always forget, but I'll put the recipe back out there once I get going.
All right, Bill, y'all have a happy Thanksgiving, man. Adam too, and I hope Charlie gets feeling better. We'll see.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call. Top of the hour, we'll go with Berg. That's Josh Duberg, 24/7 Sports, and also the Big 3 Roll-Up Podcast, which is very popular. Then Brad takes over. Yeah, Brad for the rest of hour number 3, 45 minutes or so with him. We'll get all your questions. Use the hashtag AskBP. If you want to go ahead and start posting questions, now is okay. You can do it. Again, tweet me and let me have your question for Brad. Use the hashtag AskBP, as in Brad Powers. And we will forward that on to him on this here radio show. Update your Crazy Charlie, just in case you missed us earlier. He has not gotten his test results back yet. That is as of early evening on Tuesday. I texted him. He said, I've not heard back. He said he's keeping his temperature somewhat under control, not letting it spike up anymore. He was around 101. He's had a persistent cough, and he's waiting on his test result. He can't do anything until then. If it comes back positive, he's got to sit for, doctor said he needs to sit for about 2 weeks, 14 days. If it comes back negative, his goal is to be back on Monday. That could be, and again, not trying to play Mr. Amateur Doctor here on the show, but it may be he just got the flu. I don't know. It might be the flu. It could be the flu, or it could be the coronavirus. Maybe it's neither. I don't know. But he did just texting. He sounds like his spirits are good. Absolutely. So just and send him on Twitter, at CrazyCharlie615. That's his Twitter. Send him a message. Just say, hey, big fella, thinking about you, or something like that. I'm sure he would appreciate that. As right now, he's just, Charlie's a guy that likes to be busy, so he's just sitting there probably bored out of his mind right now. If I get it, and I have to set it. Well, I'm going to do the show because I'm basically always quarantined in the Wilco studios. I'm quarantined anyways. So if for some reason I get it, I'm doing the show. I mean, unless Adam, the doctors say if you do the show through the radio airwaves, you could infect people. Probably shouldn't do the show, but I don't think they're going to do that. Hopefully, they don't do that. If I get it. And again, I got 7 kids that are in and out of all kinds of places. So we've been lucky today. I hope that luck continues. Hour 3 coming up. Berg will be with us. Then Brad the rest of the hour. Get your questions loaded up on Twitter.